Hey, you're tuned in to the Verve Podcast live from the heart of Las Vegas, Nevada. Thanks for listening, and viva la Verve!
In 2012, our Olympic basketball team, called Team USA, is arguably the greatest team ever assembled. At the time, it was the roster looked like this. It had LeBron James, Kevin Durant, Kobe Bryant, Carmelo Anthony, Coach Krzyzewski. And I don't know if you realize this, they actually trained right here in Las Vegas. And when they were training, they hired specifically for the Olympics to get them ready. They hired a strength and conditioning coach who was from here in Vegas. His name is Rob Schwartz. And Rob told the following story on Reddit, and I thought I'd share it with you. The first practice, whatever day it was going to start at 11 a.m. at a gym here in Vegas. And the night before, he was sleeping, getting ready for the event. And at 4:15 a.m., he gets a call. It's Kobe Bryant. And he says, "Hey, man, did I wake you?" "Yeah. When you get that call, do you lie?" "No, man, I was awake. No, I was awake." "Yeah, no." He was just, "Sure, what's up, Kobe?" He said, "I was wondering if you could come down to the gym and help me with some conditioning." "Well, sure." So he got his stuff together. He got to the gym a little before 5 a.m. Kobe was drenched in sweat. He had been running and doing sprints since 4:30 a.m. So Rob says, "Hey, let's do this." So he puts him through more than an hour of more conditioning drills, up, downs, burpees, all whatever it else. And after that, they finished and they went to the weight room, where he then spent an hour doing nothing but strength training, hard strength training, different weightlifting exercises. So then Rob thinks, "Okay, cool. I'm going to go finally get a little bit of sleep here before the 11 a.m. practice." And so Kobe says, "Well, I'm going to shoot a few shots." So Rob goes to bed. He comes back a little before 11 a.m., and LeBron and Durant and Carmelo are all over talking and whatever, and Kobe is at the end of the gym, and he's just kind of shooting some jumpers, warming up, right? So Rob goes over and says, "Hey, Kobe, good workout this morning." He's like, "Yeah." He said, "So what time did you leave? You're going to shoot. What time did you finish?" He goes, "Well, actually, I wanted to get 800 makes, so just now." He had stayed at the gym. At 800 makes means he had to make, on his own, self-discipline, he had to make 800 jump shots. So for those of you keeping track, Kobe Bryant started at 4:30 a.m. He did an hour and a half of hard conditioning. He then spent an hour in the weight room strength training. He then shot 800 jump shots good, and then Olympic team practice started. I heard that story. First of all, whatever you think about Kobe Bryant, that's a work ethic. And my thought was, man, this guy is in the game. It was inspirational. I was like, I want to apply that to my life, right? If you are new here, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. We are, as David pointed out, we're starting a new series called Life Hacks, Winning in the Biggest Game of All. And for those who don't, I am not the normal pastor. Our regular pastor is Vince Antonucci. He's taking this week off, and so I get to do this about two or three times a year. It's one of the great honors that I have here. I lead the creative team normally. And so I thought, sitting here on the cusp of the new year, that we would talk about, as David kind of did comedically, New Year's resolutions. You excited about that? When I say New Year's resolutions, do you get excited? No. Why not? Because they don't work. Okay, I study this for a living. I'm a professional speaker, okay? I tour all over using guitar and comedy to teach innovation and performance to corporations all over the world. Okay, so what works and doesn't matters to me. And I thought, why don't New Year's resolutions work? Why does everybody have a negative reaction to it? Well, first of all, what is it a resolution? It's a choice. First of all, to do something you really don't want to do, right? Okay, and it's something that you think you should do, okay? So then you throw a bunch of willpower at that, and 35%, more than one third of all resolutions are abandoned in January, okay? 75% of them are abandoned shortly thereafter. They don't work. And I wanted to know why. Well, I have read the studies. I have read books about it. I have listened to the pundits and speakers, half of whom are friends of mine. And I'll tell you what I believe to be the number one reason people fail at New Year's resolutions. It's because we try to change behavior without changing mindset. We try to change the way we act without changing the way we think. If you're trying to quit smoking, but you keep thinking like a smoker, it's not going to work. You can't start to exercise if you keep thinking like a lazy person. You can't get closer to God if you keep thinking like someone who's far from God. You can't get rich if you keep thinking like a poor person. My dad was a great example of this. All my life, my dad wanted to be rich. And my dad hated rich people. For real, okay? So, you think there's going to be a problem? Why would he learn to think like something that he hates? It didn't work for him. Here at Verve, if you're new here, I want to tell you a little bit. We created Verve to be a safe, non-judgmental, welcome anyone kind of an atmosphere for you to explore the idea that there's a reality to God beyond religion, beyond all the ceremony stuff, that there's something to this. And we're actually pretty good at that. We get a lot of people who are atheists, a lot of people who are agnostic, a lot of people who are from another faith or who have just had it with religion. And they come here. And we want you to explore that, ask the questions, and get involved. And we do that really well. However, if, as a church, we want to do that on a larger level and reach more people, we need to think like a church that does that on a large level. Does that make sense? The fact is, you become what you think about most often. Where your thoughts are where your life is headed. Turns out, this is a very near and dear subject to God. This is written, there are dozens and dozens of verses about the power of our thoughts and the importance of taking control of them in the Bible. If you have your Bibles, I want you to go ahead and open. We're going to look at two verses, one in the Old Testament and one in the New Testament. For those who don't know, the Old Testament is the larger part of the Bible. It was written before Jesus was born. The New Testament is Jesus' life and afterward. So we're going to look in the book of Proverbs and the book of Romans. If you don't have a Bible, don't worry. We're going to put the verses right here on the screen. If you don't own a Bible, we give them away for free. No catch, don't sign anything, don't pay anything. It's just free. Just ask for one. They're right up there. It's this Bible right here. So we're going to look at Proverbs chapter 23, verse 7, which says, "For as he thinks in himself, so is he." You are what you think about most often. And then Romans 12:2 says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind." Think about it. To quit smoking, if you've been a long time, so that, and I say that because that's one of the most common New Year's resolutions, that is not a change, that's a transformation. How do you transform, according to God? By the renewing of your mind. If you're going to lose 50 to 100 pounds, that's a transformation. We do that by renewing our minds. So, what I would like to do this morning, sitting here on the cusp of 2019, instead of giving you a bunch of resolutions that are probably not going to work, how about if I give you three transformational mindsets for 2019? Would that work for you? Is that cool? All right, cool. Good, good. So, let's jump right in. The first one, since we're using the metaphor of winning at the biggest game of all, the first mindset I want you to adopt for 2019 is get in the game. Get in the game. Now, not all of us are trained to be Olympic athletes, like I gave the story about Kobe Bryant. But all of us can get in the game. Let me give you an example that might be a little more pertinent. In Virginia, we had a real estate agent by the name of Kelly Stock. Kelly was amazing. When we were trying to move there, I flew up and for a week. Every time we met, she was there early, she stayed late. She knew every property. She knew all about the area they were in. She knew how much they cost. She knew the builder. She knew how it was built and how it was rated. She was reading books on sales. She was going to a class. I remember asking this, "What's this class you keep going to?" She said, "Well, it's actually for foremen on construction sites." She's the only woman in the thing. She's the only real estate agent in the thing. And I said, "Why are you doing this?" She said, "Because I really want to know how the properties that I'm selling are built so I know what to recommend to my clients." I thought, that woman is in the game. So in your career, are you doing that? Are you showing up early, staying late? Are you willing to go the extra mile? Are you doing, are you learning from feedback and getting coaching, right? That's what it means to be in the game. Unfortunately, I think most of us know what it's like to not be in the game. I have been an entertainer and speaker for most of my adult life. My last real job was I worked for a place called Fairfax Lumber and Millwork. I made windows and drove a forklift and helped other people out, kind of a laborer. And I learned what it was like to not be in the game. I was working one day with a guy named Robbie, and Robbie was making, he was making something called louvers, which is a part of an attic, actually. And on the last one, right at closing time, he made a mistake. It wouldn't affect the functionality of the louver, but if you looked at it, it was clearly flawed. It wasn't right. And I watched him make this decision. He looked at the mistake, and I'm just observing. He looked at the mistake, and he looked at the clock, and his exact words were, "It's not going in my house." And he turned it in, and he went home. It's pretty serious, right? That's what it means to not be in the game. So obviously, my question for you is, right now, are you in the game? Are you in the game in the important areas of your life? I believe there are five truly important areas of life. Your list might be a little different, but let me share with you mine and see if this resonates with you or not. I believe the five most important areas of your life are your relationships, your career, your health, your finances, and your spirituality. And when I share that list with you, do you see one or the other where you might be in the game and one or the other where you might not be in the game? And keep in mind, the reason that this is important is because for human beings, the way you do anything is quite often the way you do everything. Chances are, if you're taking the easy way out of work, you're not committed, you just show up and put in your time, you don't own the outcomes, you don't really care about it. Chances are you're doing that in your relationships. Chances are you're doing that maybe even with your health, with your finances, maybe they're out of order, right? But the cool thing is, on the other hand, if you're someone who shows up early and stays late, who goes the extra mile, who does more than what's asked for, who is really dedicated and learning and trying to improve all the time, in one area, say your health, chances are you're doing that in your relationship, in your finances, right? The way you do anything is the way you do everything. Now, keep in mind, some people hear this and they think, oh man, he's just like this type A overachiever. No. I am not. Trust me, ask my family, I am not, okay? Being in the game is not about being good at everything. It's just not. It's about being great at the most important things. And there is enough time for that. So let me give you a pretty tangible way to assess whether or not you think you're in the game. I'm going to give you a couple of comparisons, what it's like to be in the game and what it's like to be not in the game. If you are in the game, you do whatever it takes. If you're not in the game, you do the bare minimum, whatever will get by. If you're in the game, you're willing to take an honest look at yourself. Confront the truth. If you're not in the game, you'd really rather not see, I don't need to know. If you're in the game, you do what needs to be done, whatever it is. If you're not in the game, you do what's easiest, right? Look at the easy parts of your to-do list, cross them off, hey, good day. If you're in the game, you think in terms of results, not just the activity. It's like, where is this going? How's this going to turn out? If you're not in the game, you think in terms of time. How much time do I have to put into this? Result doesn't matter. If you're in the game, you want feedback. You want coaching. You want evaluations, right? Because you learn from those. If you're not in the game, you hate feedback. You do not want coaching, and you do not want to read evaluations. Right? I get evaluations quite often as a speaker after the event, and I always read them. And of course, ego-wise, if 499 people thought you were great and one didn't, you read that one and go, what did I do wrong? Right? Okay. If you're in the game, you live to serve others. If you're not in the game, you're probably living to serve yourself. If you're in the game, you own it. You say, hey, if it's to be, it's up to me. You own those results. If you're not in the game, you say, hey, it's not my job, or it's not going in my house, right? If you're in the game, you're driven by the activity, by the purpose, by the outcome. And if you're not in the game, you're driven by what you don't want. I don't want any stress. I don't want any discomfort. I don't want any competition, no risk, right? That's what drives people who are not in the game. And this is one I want to focus on a little bit. I think this is probably most important, and just a foundational level. If you are in the game, in some way or another, you're living to improve yourself in those important areas. If you're not in the game, you're living to entertain yourself. You see, we were designed for action. We were designed to go all out. And what happens if we don't do that in the important areas, we apply that elsewhere. We try to entertain ourselves. So how do we entertain ourselves? I call it dummies. A dummy is anything that looks like the real thing, acts like the real thing, feels like the real thing, but it's not the real thing. Crash test dummy, right? It's made to look, act, and feel like a human being in a crash so we can assess what happens, but it's not really the real thing, obviously, right? Well, so what are the dummies that might be sort of seducing us or that we spend too much time on? Yeah, well, social media is a great one. Absolutely. I was going to say your phone, your computer, your smartphone, instead of present real-time communication, right? Yeah. I can hear you. You think I'm, there's no wall up here. And I'm really glad you're here. Thank you. Yeah. You led right into this perfectly. Guitar Hero is a dummy for guitar playing, right? That's what I do, right? Soap operas, romance novels, chat rooms, adultery and porn. Those are dummies for real relationship. Fortnite and Call of Duty, those are dummies for battle, for war, right? TV can be a dummy for whatever you are watching instead of doing something else that's most important. The lottery is a dummy for investing. There are people who actually think they're investing by buying lottery tickets. Okay? Madden, fantasy football, Wii, any of those kind of online sports games, video games, those are dummies for real sports. Drugs and alcohol, those are dummies for real, legitimate entertainment and fun. Now, before anybody gets mad at me, almost all of those, you know the ones that are not, almost all of those are legitimate activities, legitimate ways to have fun. The question is, whether or not this is a dummy, number one, what's the motivation? And number two, how much time are you spending on it? Okay, if the motivation, are you trying to enhance your life? Hey, you get home after a hard day, you want to watch some kind of a TV show? That's great, okay? Or are you spending 3 to 5 hours a day on it? Are you doing it instead of life? Is it a life enhancement or a life replacement? And, like I said, how much time are you spending on it? If you're spending hours a day on just a game, chances are it's replacing something that you could be doing that's actually moving forward. I know of a guy right now, I know who he is, who spends hours every evening and 4 or 5 hours a day on the weekends playing Fortnite. By the way, Fortnite had became an obsession for a while, okay? Everybody was going crazy over it, right? Okay, his kids complain that he doesn't have enough time for them, and he just says, man, I'm just so busy. No, he's not so busy. He's got a dummy. Let me confess one of mine. My family can tell you this. There was a long time, I used to sit with the family, like watching TV or whatever. I was on my computer, right? That's a dummy, okay? I wasn't really there. We've made the rule now. When we're all together, no electronics. Don't be texting somebody. Don't be me doing my work, right? We had to change that. So let's talk about what getting in the game might look like for you in 2019. We talked about what it might look like in your career when I gave this description of my real estate agent, Kelly Stock. So what does this look like in your relationship, especially if you're married? Are you still pursuing your spouse? Are you still spending time? Are you romantic? Are you talking? Are you doing the things? Are you willing to confront the things that may not be working as well? Are you maybe even reading books on it, willing to go to counseling? If you are, chances are you're probably in the game. Parenting. Every child in the world has a spelling problem. They all spell love, T-I-M-E. So are you spending time with the kids? Do you know the names of their friends? Do you know the names of their teachers? Do you know what their grades are? Do you know what their conduct is? Do you spend focused time with them? Are you interested in what they're doing? Are you learning about parenting? Most of us learn parenting from our parents, right? I don't know about you. I love my parents, but parents are usually the reasons we have psychotherapy. Right? Okay. Which means they didn't do a perfect job. So why can't we learn? Well, I've read a number of parenting books. You know, I'm not saying I'm perfect at it, but you know, I've got great kids, and you can't fake good kids. Your health. Everyone's in a different place with this. I recognize that. But I think when we talk about getting in the game with your health, we can name a few things that are common to all of us. Are you exercising in some way? For you, that might mean you're at a level where that's running 8 miles a day, or you might be at a level where that means you need to start walking 30 minutes a day. Are you eating according to how long you would like to live? That's right, okay. All you gotta do is say, hey, if you wanna live to 45, just keep on going with the potato chips, right? Okay, if you wanna live to be 100, well, you're probably gonna need to make some changes, right? Are you getting enough sleep? None of us get enough sleep, right? Okay, I didn't last night, I'm confessing. This is church, where we do that, right? Do you have a positive attitude? That affects your health, okay? Are you surrounding yourself with positive people who uplift you, okay? And finally, your spirituality. This is probably the most important area to get in the game in 2019. Are you pursuing God the same way you would pursue a relationship? Because that's what it is. It's not religion, it's relationship. Okay? Are you growing in intimacy with God? Meaning, hey, start your day with prayer and reading. Just talk to God. It doesn't take a long time. We have a resource you're going to hear about a little bit after called vervecatalyst.org, which is a reading program. You read a chapter of the Bible every day, and you just go through the questions, and it talks about how to apply that, to understand it and apply it. Okay? You'll hear about it in a second, but that's a great way to get started. Are you here attending regularly? God really asks two things of us. Love God, love people. Well, you love people by being here. Coming to Verve, joining a Verve group. Verve groups, you're going to hear more about that over the next month. It's an awesome way to just do life together, to talk about things that are challenges, to learn, to grow. Are you serving here? We have all kinds of opportunities to serve. It's a great way to get to know people, to use your talents and gifts in a way that sort of gives back or serves God. And we also have something that you're going to hear about called Next Steps. Next Steps starts, it's in this room that's right across the hall here. It'll start next week at noon every Sunday. It's taught by Tony Schwartz, awesome pastor here at Verve. And it's where we learn about God. We learn about community. We learn about our purpose and how we can tap into that and use that in a very positive way. It's an awesome resource to hear. The key is, if you're doing those things, you're in the game with your spirituality. You're in the game with God. Back in the day, I was blessed with the opportunity. I opened a number of shows for the Beach Boys. And they liked me, so they invited me on stage a few times to play guitar with them, which was really cool. For 4 minutes, I'd be a rock star. It was so cool. I'm jamming, and Mike Love's right there. Well, Brian Wilson had a great quote, and I want to share it with you, because what we're talking about, if you're in the game, that's the way to live an extraordinary life, getting in the game. And if you're not, it's going to lead to, at best, a mediocre life. Brian Wilson said, "Beware the lollipop of mediocrity. Lick it once and you'll suck forever." So, our first mindset for 2019, get in the game. Get in the game in the areas that are most important in your life. And you probably identified one that maybe you need to work on and some that you're doing right. There's your plan for 2019. Number one, get in the game. Number two, for professional speakers like myself, one of the things that I teach is how to get bookings. And a number of years ago, I was speaking at our National Speakers Association National Conference, 1,500 people who do what I do. And I was teaching about how to get bookings. And after my presentation, a woman came up to me and she said, I'm having problems getting booked and I'm wondering if you can help me. I said, well, I'll try. What do you speak about? Okay, meaning your topic. Like, I speak about innovation, possibility thinking, and performance. People speak about leadership. People speak about finances. There's different areas, right? She told me, I couldn't make this up. She said, I speak about the history of aprons. I didn't know they had a history. I mean, you put it on, I don't know, whatever. And I thought about it for a second and I said, so what does that matter to me? Well, she was taken aback. I said, no, that's your answer. If you can show me, since aprons are not something that most people are wanting to learn about, if you can show me, communicate to me why this benefits my life, benefits my career, benefits my business in some way, you can probably get booked as a speaker. If you can't, it's probably not going to work. Well, she went away kind of dejected, but I thought about that for a second. I thought, hold it. For whatever reason, this is this woman's passion, right? This is what's in her heart. She wants to talk about the history of aprons, right? So she's following her heart. And it wasn't working. Well, hold it. Don't all the books and all the Disney movies and all the songs and all the poems tell you follow your heart? It'll never lead you astray. Flash news bulletin number one, they lied. They lied. Your heart will absolutely lead you astray. Okay? It happens all the time. While your heart is beautiful, compassionate, it is powerful, it is also fickle, undiscerning, and quite often lacking in morality. Your heart wants what it wants when it wants it, right? Bankruptcies happen every day for people following their hearts. Marriages break up every day for people following their hearts. The average person falls in love 8 times in their life. The average person gets married on the 4th. Do the math. Okay. Countries go to war for people following their hearts. Now, please don't get me wrong. Your heart is the most beautiful and important part of you. It's where God connects with you. The condition of your heart is most important to God. So, what am I saying here? I'm saying, look at what your heart is saying, but don't follow your heart, lead it. Don't follow your heart, lead it. How do you lead your heart? Well, God gave you another organ. It's called your brain. The brain is where we have wisdom, discernment, judgment, all are in your brain. It's no accident that you have both. Living purely by your heart, by your passion, without discernment or judgment, that's going to leave a lonely, broken, disappointed life. On the other hand, living purely by reason and thought is going to leave you with a cold, autocratic, barren life. So, do you tend to one or the other of the categories? Here's the deal. When someone says follow your heart, what they're really saying is, hey, do what you're passionate about. Do what you feel, called to do. And that's great. I totally believe that. But you've got to apply judgment to it. I did a presentation one time, my What If keynote experience, which is my standard presentation for most groups. And a woman came up to me after, and she was mad at me. Okay? It's because in the presentation, I teach to set these big goals. I talk about, going with that passion. And she said, look, I tried that, and it didn't work. She said, I had a dream. I really wanted to do this. So I saved my money. I quit my job. I went after this, and I lost everything. Flash news bulletin number 2. Your having a dream does not suspend the laws of business, fidelity, and cause and effect. Okay, it's still the same world out there. So, what am I saying? I'm saying find out what your heart wants to do and lead it there through your brain, through your wisdom. Think about the people in the world. The Wright brothers, who taught us to fly. William Wilberforce, who ended slavery in England and the slave trade out of Africa. Okay, one guy. Steve Jobs, most of you own something he created right now. Elon Musk, most of you will own something that he's creating. Mother Teresa, Nelson Mandela, Jesus Christ. All of these are crazy dreamers with dead serious plans. If you combine your passion with a dead serious plan to make it work, that is an unstoppable force of nature. It's the only thing that changes the world. But most important for you and me, this is exactly the way ordinary people lead extraordinary lives. Take your passion, take your heart, and lead it with a serious plan to make it work. So, number one, we're going to get in the game, right? Number two, don't follow your heart, lead it. Become a crazy dreamer with dead serious plans. Let's look at mindset number three. I have shared this one other time. I get to speak about two or three times a year. I shared this one other time, but I want to revisit it. I've added to it a little bit, and it's absolutely imperative, I believe, for our 2019, especially with where we are in the world right now. About a number of years ago, I was asked to speak to a group of Georgia high school technology students, 300 of them, okay, in the room. And the racial makeup of the group was this. The largest group was African American. Second largest group was Hispanic. Third largest group was white. Fourth was Asian, okay? And along with my What If keynote experience, which is how I was gonna open, they wanted me to speak about an extra session to talk about racism, sexism, discrimination, and how those affect success. Yeah, send in the middle-aged white guy. but I hit it head on. And I came up with something that I am going to be sharing in my new keynote presentation all over the world. I asked him a simple question. I said, okay, folks, let's talk about this. Did racism, sexism, discrimination, and unfairness of all kinds exist 100 years ago? They said, yeah. I said, do racism, sexism, and discrimination, and unfairness of all kinds exist today? They said, yes, oh yeah. I said, not to sound pessimistic, but do you think that racism, sexism, and discrimination, and unfairness of all kinds are going to exist 100 years from now? They said, yeah. I said, so what does that mean for you? It means succeed anyway. Succeed anyway. Will it be harder for you? Probably. Succeed anyway. Is that fair? No, it's not fair. Succeed anyway. Here's the challenge. The moment you blame your lack of success, your problems in your life, anything that's going wrong, the moment you blame, regardless of why, the moment you blame your lack of whatever in your life on somebody else, you take all of your power and you hand it to the very people you don't want to have it. The best way, the only way to change the system and the best way to stick it to those who would hold you down is to become a raving success. Succeed anyway. And this is beyond just a thing about victim mentality. This is a formula to move forward in your life in any way. So they don't play fair. Succeed anyway. I'm not good enough. Succeed anyway. Someone cheated me. Succeed anyway. It's never been done before. Succeed anyway. I don't have a degree. Succeed anyway. I'm not as smart as they are. Succeed anyway. I'm too old. I'm too young. I'm too fat. I'm too thin. I'm too ugly. I'm too pretty. I have a bad childhood. I'm damaged. It's just nothing ever works out for me. Well, freaking succeed anyway. Okay? Thank you. I believe this for what it's worth. And keep in mind, succeed. What I'm talking about is a mindset. It's bravery, but not bravado. It is absolute determination without anger. Okay? It is absolutely personal without taking it personally. It is that indomitable grit in your gut with a smile on your face. There is a reason that they chose Jackie Robinson to change the racial barriers in Major League Baseball. It wasn't because he was strong enough to fight, though he was. It was because he was strong enough not to fight, to just be freaking amazing. And he did it, and it worked. So, turns out, I was looking for Bible verses about this spirit of succeed anyway. Turns out there's so many of them, I had to pare it down to three, and I want to share those three with you. They're all in the book of Romans. I want you... We'll open to Romans, and we'll throw the verses up here. Romans 8:31 says, "What then shall we say in response to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us?"
Amen.
Right. 8:37 says, "No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loves us." That means through God. God wants to be that spirit in you, that spirit of succeeding anyway. And Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose." Those are called according to his purpose. That's you and me right here, okay? Right. So all things, the bad things, the horrible things that you're absolutely not fair, when you love God, they all work together for good. Succeed anyway. When we started Verve, we launched 9 years ago. And we launched, and shortly thereafter, I had a business partner who had been my close friend for 15 years. He was my agent, and all the checks that I earned by playing that he had booked came through him, and then they came to me. And for whatever reason, one day, the checks stopped showing up. And he ended up taking from us almost an entire year's income. It almost broke us. And there was a point where it was really hurting us, and we were in a bad place, and we needed this one big check that was going to come in. You guys have been there before. Most of us have been there before. Well, you're waiting on that one thing, right? We're waiting on this one check to come through. And it didn't show up, and it didn't show up, and that's when it broke down, and he just said, "No." And I haven't talked to him since then. I've forgiven him, but I haven't talked to him since then. And my wife and I, my wife Tara, sat down, and I just said, "We're going to have to proceed as if we're never going to see that money." And she thought, "You're right." So we held hands and we prayed. And we made the choice to succeed anyway. And it took a long time, but we climbed out and it worked. So for 2019, I want you to get in the game, okay? Stop being on the sidelines. Let's get in the game. Let's make this count. If it's worth doing, it's worth doing right. I want you to stop following your heart and lead it. Know what that passion is, but attach it to some dead serious plans. Create an extraordinary life. And to do that, you will have challenges. And when you reach those challenges, when you meet those, when they come in, everything seems like it's going to hold you down. I want you to succeed anyway. Turn your brilliance loose on the world and succeed anyway. I appreciate you spending this time with me. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for these people. Thank you so much for our chance to come together, this place that you've provided for us. We're looking at 2019, and we know resolutions don't work. And help us to grow closer to you through getting in the game. Help us to get in the game, to stop playing on the sidelines, to get serious about the things that matter in our lives. Help us to know what's in our hearts, but to approach it with a really smart way of doing things. And help us be that backbone for us when everything seems like it's against us. Help us to make that choice to just succeed anyway. We love you, and we do all of these things in your name and for your purposes. In Jesus' name, amen.